Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everybody. This is Parrish Alford of the Daily Journal. I am the Ole Miss beat writer. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. And Logan, right off the bat, we have messed up the intro, but that's kind of what happens, man, whenever you're like out of the office and away from home and out of routine. And like as we record Double Coverage, folks, that's what we're doing, Double Coverage, our weekly podcast of Ole Miss and Mississippi State athletics. Logan, as we record, I'm kind of standing up on the 15th floor of the Marriott Convention Center looking out over New Orleans. I can see the World War II Museum in the distance, the Superdome, and the Smoothie King Center. And to make it even more official, John Davis, who keeps us up to date with all kinds of recruiting news, man, he's like sitting at the table here pecking away on his laptop as well. How are you, and what's going on there where you are in Charlotte?
Well, I am actually outside of Charlotte in the suburb of Matthews. It's a nice little suburb. I'm overlooking an Applebee's from the fourth floor of a Hampton Inn, so pretty good accommodations here for me. You know, I definitely can't complain about that. It was kind of convenient to Mississippi State's practice fields and convenient to Bank of America Stadium, and also convenient to the minor league ballpark, where on Tuesday, I guess we'll have our media day, the day before the game. So we'll have to actually travel to the, I think they're the Clippers, I think, is the name of the minor league team. The Knights.
Yeah, I know that you are a minor league baseball aficionado there, and I am too. I enjoy keeping up with that as well. So it's okay to pick up a minor league cap along the way. Hey, folks, we are in these cities because this is where our teams are in bowl games right now. The Rebels getting ready to take on Oklahoma State New Year's night in the Sugar Bowl. But before then, Mississippi State and North Carolina State in the Belk Bowl in Charlotte. Let's start with the Bulldogs and the Wolfpack. Logan, exactly whose state is it? Because back when Mississippi State was really into the Our State marketing campaign, I was covering a baseball regional in Raleigh, and lo and behold, I hear Our State stuff coming out of North Carolina State as well. And I read some stuff about the Belk Bowl coming out of North Carolina that said they were going to have like some artificial noise makers for the game as well. Have you heard that?
Yeah, they're going to issue 25,000 of those thunder sticks that you kind of see at some baseball games and a few football games throughout the year, the inflatable little sticks that you can blow up and bang together. So they'll have those. And I'm sure the North Carolina State fans will outnumber Mississippi State fans 3-1. I know Mississippi State was trying hard to sell their bowl allotment. When I'd left Starkville on Christmas, Mississippi State had sold a little over 4,000 tickets of their – I mean 5,000 tickets over their 8,000 allotment. So, probably not going to be a huge Mississippi State crowd here, you know, obviously with a close proximity from Charlotte to Raleigh, probably a lot of NC State fans, be a lot of red in that stadium. Of course, they're accustomed to playing in this stadium. This will be the seventh time they've played there, and it's the third time they've played in this particular bowl. So probably a lot of home cooking as far as the crowd goes in that ball game for the Wolfpack.
So disposable noisemakers for North Carolina State. They're going to blow them up and get rid of them after the game. Tell me, Logan, why do you think is it distance? Why do you think State's having trouble getting people to this game? I mean, this is a team that won eight games and had it won its last one, it would be. Might be Mississippi State in the Sugar Bowl right now.
Well, I think a lot of people are, they're starting to figure out this bowl thing, and this is Mississippi State's sixth straight bowl that they've been to. And they're starting to figure out that they can get these bowl tickets through outside sources. They don't necessarily have to go through the school to get their tickets. I know a lot of fans were sort of complaining about where the seating was last year at the Orange Bowl, and so I think they wanted to try to seek outside means to try to get better seating for the game. So I think that has a lot to do with it, and I think, you know, just kind of complacency. You know, Mississippi State has been to a bowl, you know, all these many years, and I think people are, you know, tired of going to some of them. So, you know, I think if it had been a little closer, you know, people could have made the, you know, the trip up to Memphis or, you know, wherever, driving distance wise. I mean, it's about an eight and a half hour drive from Starkville to here. I actually had to leave Christmas night to come up here. I drove to a little north of Atlanta, spent the night, and then drove the rest of the way on the 26th up here so I could be here for Mississippi State's first practice. So been here for a few days. I hadn't seen a whole lot of maroon and white in Matthews where I'm at outside of Charlotte, but still a couple more days before the game. Probably start seeing some of that maroon and white start showing up at some of the hotels and restaurants throughout the area, probably here in the next couple of days.
Now, the Belk Bowl there in Charlotte and the Texas Bowl in Houston are relatively new bowls in the SEC alignment with these games. Now, I think it's great because both of them are in big cities with NFL stadiums, NFL venues to play in. To me, that immediately elevates them ahead of the Liberty Bowl and the BBVA, well, it's not even that anymore. It's the Birmingham Bowl. Okay. Immediately, you know, they elevate beyond those two games with which the SEC has longer histories. But have you been out to the stadium yet? What do you know about the venue?
I haven't been over there yet. I'll actually the minor league stadium actually shares a parking lot with Bank of America Stadium, so I'll actually go over there tomorrow for the first time. I've been out to Mississippi State's practice site, which is at a local high school here. They were actually had to change their practice site. They're supposed to practice on grass fields, and obviously it's been raining pretty much every day up here. So they've actually had to change to a different high school that had an AstroPlay surface so they could get some practicing in. So, you know, just they had actually an excursion to the Charlotte Motor Speedway here on Sunday, and they were supposed to take out some of the stock cars and take a couple of laps in those for the Richard Petty driving experience. And weren't able to do that either. They actually had to take some rental cars that were out there. They had a couple of Camaros and a couple of Fiats and some Camrys that they took around to the track. And actually got to go around the track a few times myself in that. So had some fun activities for the players to do. I think they went to an NBA game the other night between the Grizzlies and the Hornets. So they've had a lot of fun activities for the players to do here. And, you know, I think this is one of the better bowls that Mississippi State's been to as far as the activities and stuff that they've had for the players to do.
Well, we're going to talk about the Ole Miss game, the Sugar Bowl, and the Rebels' time here in New Orleans in just a moment. Before we get there, Logan, tell me about some of the matchups on the field. How do you see North Carolina State and Mississippi State when it comes time to kick it off?
Well, going into a little, I didn't know a whole lot about NC State going into this bowl game. I actually thought Mississippi State would be playing Virginia Tech in this bowl. And judging by what they did at the Independence Bowl, it's probably a good thing Mississippi State drew NC State. I think it's a little bit better matchup for Mississippi State to try to come out on the winning outcome of the game. But they've got a former Florida quarterback, Florida transfer quarterback in Jacoby Brissett. He's a senior quarterback. He's got sort of similar numbers to Dak Prescott. He's with his touchdown interception ratio. He's a 19-4 ratio in that. He's thrown for, you know, 2,400 yards. So an experienced quarterback that doesn't turn the football over a whole lot. The one thing they're going to be without their running back, their leading rusher, I think his name is Matthew Days. He rushed for 865 yards and a dozen touchdowns this year. He's actually out for this game. So Mississippi State's, you know, caught a break with that. Their leading receiver is actually a tight end fullback slash guy, you know, a guy that, you know, is not a wide receiver. So he's 5'11", 230-something pounds. So Mississippi State's going to kind of keep an eye on him, whether he lines up in the backfield, lines up at tight end, lines up in the slot. They've got to kind of keep up with him and, you know, try to keep his keep him in check. His name is Jalen Samuels. So he's got twice as many catches, twice as much yards, and twice as many touchdowns as any other receiver on the roster. So a little bit about NC State. You know, this year, you know, they're 7-5. They've only beaten one team with a winning record this year. So they really just kind of an up and down team. You know, they played some tight games that they've lost, but really hadn't had a whole lot of success against teams with winning records. So that actually bodes in Mississippi State's favor as well.
How do you think Dak Prescott bounces back in this game, Logan? I thought senior night in Starkville against Ole Miss actually worked against Dak. I thought he was pressing a little bit in that game. I know a lot of people had thought that that really would be difficult for Ole Miss, the emotions of Dak Prescott in his final home game there. But I really thought watching him come out and shed a couple of tears and the emotional embrace there with Dan Mullen, I thought maybe he was pressing a little bit at the start of that game and that led or helped lead to a couple of those turnovers. I know certainly I thought one of them did on the decision to throw the ball that was returned for a touchdown by Ole Miss cornerback Tony Bridges. How do you think Dak bounces back?
I think he's going to have that in his stomach. Not only the fact that you lose your last home game at home, you also lost the bowl game, the Orange Bowl game last year against Georgia Tech. So I think he wants to lead this team to a win in his final game. And I agree with you. I think a lot of the emotions from senior night actually worked against him in that game. You could kind of see him making a lot of uncharacteristic mistakes in that game, just trying to do too much out there on his own rather than relying a lot on his teammates and just kind of doing too much and not working within the offense. And that's something that I think he'll do a little bit more in this particular bowl game, just trying to get the ball to some of his teammates, let them make some plays, and try not to dig themselves a hole. And that's one of the keys that I have to a game. Last year in the Orange Bowl, Mississippi State dug themselves a 14-0 deficit that they had to try to climb back for them. And the same thing in the Egg Bowl this year, down 21-0. At the end of the first quarter. So Mississippi State's going to have to try to find a way to not turn the football over in those games and put some points up themselves and try to keep from getting that early deficit.
You are listening to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. This is the Bowl Games edition. Folks, be sure to check out the memo as well with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. Search for it where you look for all of your podcasts. And catch up on all things Northeast Mississippi, all the topics, everything that's going on. We're going to talk Ole Miss and Oklahoma State and the Sugar Bowl, but before we do, I'm going to walk the 3 feet over to where John Davis is pecking away at his laptop, and he's going to tell us what's going on with Ole Miss and Mississippi State recruiting right now.
Hello, how are you?
How's it going, John?
Right now Ole Miss is sitting at 20 commitments, and I just did an update on Jerrion Street, who is a running back from Hewitt Trussell High School. That's going to be my latest Know Your Recruit, which comes out on Wednesday in the Citizen, and I've got several lined up moving forward. I can tell you this for the Mississippi State listeners. I've done profiles on A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones when they were playing in the state championship game in Oxford when Starkville won the 6A. State title game, was able to go watch AJ and Kobe both play in the Mississippi-Alabama All-Star game. And it seems like that will be an interesting, finish with Ole Miss and Mississippi State. And Alabama, Jeffrey Simmons is another name from an in-state standpoint that fans of both teams are waiting to see what he does. Again, Alabama's in the mix there. A lot of these kids are playing in all-star games. In fact, A.J. Brown specifically is in the Under Armour game on January 2nd in Orlando, and that's a game that's going to be on ESPN. Definitely interested to see how he does in that contest. I think he's a very special talent. So a lot of recruiting news to come. A lot of recruiting news has been going on already. And it should be a interesting finish for both teams. I know Ole Miss specifically would like to get 7 more kids. They have the ability to sign 27 this year. I'm not exactly sure what State's overall offers are, but if they can keep the Starkville boys at home, that would go a long way to improving their rankings and really appeasing the fans that follow the maroon and white.
Yeah, and I'm not as big on recruiting as I once was when I worked for Rivals.com, but obviously I know Mississippi State's going to have a smaller signing class this year just due to sheer numbers. They didn't have many seniors graduate this year, but I do know that they would like to finish strong with some of those area kids that you just kind of mentioned, you know, Jeffrey Simmons, the two Starkville kids, A.J. Brown and Kobe Jones, and then obviously a kid from West Point, an offensive lineman, Scott Lashley. They can kind of keep those local Golden Triangle area kids at home. I think that that would be a success in their books in February.
And recruiting, I think Jesus said recruiting you have with you always. Isn't that right, Logan? It's always there. But signing day coming up, hey, we're about to hit the new year. And when we get there, man, you're really only talking about a month before signing day, just a little bit more than that. The first Wednesday in February, February 3rd, JD tells me, he whispered to me, John Davis, the recruiting whisperer. That's what he is. Hey, folks, let's talk Sugar Bowl. Ole Miss arrived on Saturday, as did Oklahoma State. Oklahoma State actually flew in, Logan. They landed at the airport. And if you were going to cover the Oklahoma State arrival, you had to go through all the security that is any airport these days. And you had to actually apply for credentials, and you had to be cleared and checked if you were going to go out on the tarmac to talk to Mike Gundy when he landed. I did not go through all of that process, I'm proud to say, but I was here Saturday evening to talk with Hugh Freeze and Evan Ingram and Mike Hilton, who were representing the players when Ole Miss arrived at the Hilton Riverside in the evening. Now, this is a group right now that really has a chip on its shoulder about the whole New Year's Six Bowl experience based on their performance in the Peach Bowl last year when they lost 42-3 to TCU. They want to prove that they belong on this stage. What we're hearing from Ole Miss players right now is that last year the bright lights, the big stage kind of got to them a little bit, and they didn't have any experience with that, and felt like that was kind of one reason, a factor in their performance. There were a lot of factors going on at that time, but they felt like just not having been on that stage before, you know, was something that contributed, and they believe that they've learned from that. But the other, you know, and the thing we hear from them right now is focus. It's preparation, and what we have been told repeatedly is that, hey, they're going to go out in New Orleans. They're going to they're going to take advantage of the opportunities provided by the Sugar Bowl, but they're going to handle their downtime responsibly. And what Evan Ingram told us is not a minute will go by that we won't be thinking of what we need to do to win this game. So all that being said, I think Ole Miss will have a much more competitive showing in the Sugar Bowl than it did last year in the Peach Bowl. Whether or not that means the Rebels win the game remains to be seen, but I really do like their chances to compete better and have a better experience against Oklahoma State. Now, that being said, they're going to try and contain one of the top passing offenses in the country without an All-American defensive tackle in Robert Kimdichie, suspended for this game after his incident at an upscale Atlanta hotel, a fall of about 15 feet, a broken window that was never explained. I'm up on the 15th floor, Logan. I'm staying away from windows. But anyway, look, Robert Kimdichie's not here. The Rebels have got to figure out what they're going to do in that spot, and the guy they're going to turn to is redshirt freshman Breeland Speaks, 30 tackles, 5 tackles for loss this season. He's played a lot of football. You know, he's got a high motor like Kimdichie. He may grow into a player who does Kimdichie-like things later in his career, but right now he's not as experienced. He's not as strong. But it's going to be interesting to see what he can accomplish in that position because, like I said, he is a player who gives great effort. And when we broke for Christmas, Logan, I say broke, when I took a few holidays there and the Rebels broke a couple of days later, the guys who were in the defensive line rotation for Ole Miss in their workouts in Oxford, and I'm talking about the down spots right now, the three technique, nose, and then the four technique, the four guys they had there were Woodrow Hamilton, a senior, and DJ Jones, the junior college transfer in his first year. Those were the guys working at nose, and then at tackle, it was Breland Speaks. And then, this is where it gets interesting, Ross Donnelly, a true freshman, who has appeared in only six games this year. So, you know, my guess is that while this has been a very deep and talented defensive line for Ole Miss this season, a group that has rotated, you know, quite a bit, I don't think you're going to see as many guys moving in and out. I think some guys are going to be asked to play more snaps in the game, and we'll just see how that works out for the Rebels. Another interesting note here, you go back to the Texas A&M game for Ole Miss. 1 week after they lost at Memphis, they didn't have Robert Kimdichie for Texas A&M. He sustained the concussion against Memphis, sat out against the Aggies, and the A&M game was the Rebels' best defensive game of the year, holding the Aggies to under 200 yards of total offense. The difference in that game and this one is that the Rebels did have defensive end Fadal Brown against Texas A&M. They do not have him for the Sugar Bowl. It was announced not long after the Mississippi State game that Brown would go ahead and have surgery on his foot, and so he's out for this game. So, you know, again, defensive line has been very deep for Ole Miss this season, but that depth is stretched pretty thin right now. Oklahoma State also has a little bit of an injury question going on at quarterback with its starter, Mason Rudolph, a 6'4", 220-pound sophomore. You know, the Cowboys have played two quarterbacks all season long, but they've been in very defined roles. Rudolph has been the starter. He's been the passer. He's been the guy that moves them up and down the field with chunks of yardage. He's at almost 3,600 passing yards for the year, 21 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. But when they've gotten in the red zone, it's been a senior, J.W. Walsh, coming off the bench, a running quarterback, but a pretty good passer, too. Ole Miss fans will remember the two quarterback situation in Hugh Freeze's first two seasons when it was Bo Wallace and Barry Brunetti. So something along those lines. When it's in the red zone, J.W. Walsh would come in for Oklahoma State and has been very productive there with 11 rushing touchdowns and 13 passing touchdowns. Walsh scored the game winner on a quarterback run in overtime at West Virginia in October. So we've seen or we know that Walsh has played a lot for Oklahoma State this year, but he hasn't been, you know, he hasn't been their guy. He just hasn't been. And when he was in that role against Oklahoma, when Rudolph was out with a foot injury, he was just okay. He posted some decent numbers with two touchdown passes and one interception. But the Sooners ran for almost 350 yards and won that game easily, 53-28. Rudolph played in only three snaps in that game. He came in for the second possession for Oklahoma State in the second quarter. He played three plays. They went incomplete pass, interception, and he was out. That was all he played against the Sooners. Now, you know, Mike Gundy, the Oklahoma State coach, has been pretty coy about how he's going to use his quarterbacks in the Sugar Bowl. But it sounds as though Rudolph will play. How much he'll play remains to be seen. What kind of chances they'll take with him early in the game, if they'll be conservative in play calling, all that remains to be seen. But that's something that you know, could possibly balance out the fact that Robert Kimdichie is not around in this game for Ole Miss. Another matchup to look at in the Sugar Bowl is Oklahoma State All-American defensive end Emmanuel Ogba, also a Nigerian, like Kimdichie, who moved to the States when he was 9, played high school football in Houston, Texas, didn't start playing football until the 7th grade. This guy is the NCAA's career active sack leader with 28. He has at least one sack in 16 of his last 20 games. He has multiple sacks six times in his career. He's been a sack machine. Now, Laramie Tunsil, the Ole Miss left tackle coming off NCAA suspension against Texas A&M, neutralized SEC sack leader Myles Garrett, held him without a sack. That was back at a time when Tunsil had no game action in 2015, had a really good game there against Garrett. A little bit of a difference here is that Oklahoma State will move Ogba around, will kind of probe for weakness along that Ole Miss offensive line. We'll see if it has a matchup that it likes and thinks it can exploit. So that's going to be an interesting competition to watch there between Ogba and the Ole Miss offensive line. Some of that time it will be Ogba and Laramie Tunsil, which will be a delight, I'm sure, for NFL executives who are watching both of those guys. I'm sure that'll get a lot of airtime from the ESPN crew calling the game. So anyway, I look at this game, Logan. I do think Ole Miss will be more competitive. There are some matchups that I think the Rebels can exploit. Like I said, Oklahoma ran for almost 350 yards against Oklahoma State. The Cowboys have been erratic with their run defense. Ole Miss has been much better running the ball since Tunsil has returned, averaging a little better than 200 yards a game. And then stopping the run. You know, that's, you know, where Oklahoma State, like I said, has struggled, but they haven't been able to produce on the ground as well. Really can't really have struggled to run the football. So if Ole Miss kind of wins the running game on both sides of the ball, you know, I think that will go a long way toward lifting the Rebels in this Sugar Bowl. Folks, you've been listening to Double Coverage, a production of the Northeast Mississippi Daily Journal. We thank you for being with us and encourage you to also look for The Memo with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. Look for it where you search for all of your podcasts and catch up with all things Northeast Mississippi, current events and topics, all right there at The Memo. And Logan and I will be back with you next week for Double Coverage.